Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I appreciate Abby picking a song that blew a blood vessel. I think I picked every hymn song that busted all the other ones. They all busted now. I have to work a little harder than I used to have to. Used to, I sang like a girl just naturally. Now I have to work at it a little bit, so. Well, aren't you glad for God's amazing grace? Amen. We wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for His amazing grace, that's for sure. I know I wouldn't be. I'm thankful for His grace. And I do pray for Pastor tonight. He is still under the weather. He's brought something back from Mexico, and just hadn't left yet. So y'all pray for him if you would tonight. Genesis chapter 6, talking about a healthy heart, a healthy heart. Last week we talked, it was last week. Since last week, I left out Saturday at 12 o'clock. I landed in Sioux City, Iowa at 2:30. And I got off the plane and I went to the motel. I changed. I went out to eat. I woke up Sunday morning and I preached Sunday school. I preached Sunday morning and then they had an afternoon service at whatever time that was. I got on the plane. I got done preaching at 2 o'clock. I was sitting on my plane at 2:35. That's how big their airport was. Had one terminal. I wish DFW was like that. You walk in the front door, and the front door is actually the scanner. You just walk through it, and you do like this, and they, hey, how y'all doing? You know, as long as you don't look too bad, I guess they let you through. And they were out there cranking that plane, you know, getting it ready to go. And so I landed back here at 5, and then traffic hit, and I was here for church Sunday night. Ain't that amazing how you can fly over the world like that and be somewhere at one moment and be back in service? Now, what's your excuse for missing Sunday night? I flew all the way from Sioux City, you know. No, I'm just kidding with you. But you say, if you give me a plane, I'll be here. But it's kind of hard sometimes, right? But I praise the Lord for what He was doing up there. The church was very good. They had Friend Day, and they broke a record of friends being there. So that was great. And so anyway, had one soul that raised his hand that he was lost. And so he was being dealt with. This week by the pastor or the staff there, so praise the Lord for that. And by the way, that goes to your account for allowing me to go. I appreciate that very much, and pastor also. A healthy heart. Last week we talked about a healthy heart described or displayed by Christ. He displayed that healthy heart when we talked about learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart. And so tonight we're going to talk about a sick heart described. We're going to talk about a sick heart described. And there's some things that has really got my attention. 126 years around there, from the time of Adam to the time of Noah's birth, around 126 years have gone by. 10 generations have come and gone since that time. And now we have the sin of man happening in Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 6 shows us what happens when sin left alone, what it does. It grows, it multiplies, and it comes to chapter 6. And here's how God describes the events of this day. Notice in chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that the daughters were born unto them, and that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Now, there's a lot of train of thought here. I'm not preaching necessarily on verse 2, but if you would, Brother Stewart seems to think this, and there's a lot of others that seem to think this, is that that the demons possess bodies during that time, and just like they do in this time, and they had babies with the daughters of the earth, and these daughters had these babies, and guess what happened? They were very, very wicked babies, and we still have a lot of demons giving birth today. To a lot of demons, amen? Well, amen. You can go ahead and amen it, it's okay. We called some of ours demons for a little while. But listen, that's what happens in America, is that what happens if you leave sin unattended and you see a generation. And by the way, who's having the most babies in the world? It's the lost people. They're out multiplying us 10 to 1 in this world today. You go into the slums of the world, and man, they're just having babies left and right of these people that are on drugs and that are all of these things going on in our world today. And by the way, I believe this. I believe that in this chapter, the multiplication was not of those that were saved and not those that were believers and righteous in Christ. We know that because, listen, God said to Sodom and Gomorrah that if you could, He got down to 10 people. He said, if you could find me 10 people, He said, I'd spare the city. Listen, God must have not confined anybody other than Noah that was saved and righteous during that time, because if He would have, He would not have flooded the earth. Listen, my Bible says that only 8 souls were saved through this ark. And that means all the rest of the world perished in a moment. Why was that? Because God's a bad God and He's a mean God and He just wanted to be... No, because we're going to see here. Notice on down. It says in verse 3, it says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also in the flesh, yet in the day shall be 120 years. And he's that's prophecy there. When I'm getting at verse 4. It says, and there were giants in the earth in those days. By the way, we have them today. I'm not talking about in stature. We have giants of evil all over this world today. Now I realize he's talking about giants, big these big people. And we don't know how big they were. And it says that when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, that they bare children of them and begot mighty men, which were old and men of renown. By the way, the wicked world's more popular than we are today. Just like they were in those days. By the way, they're going to be the people in power. They're going to be the people that have the loudest voice. They're going to be the people on TV. I guarantee you they're not probably ever going to come to Heritage Baptist Church and ask us to be on Fox News or ESPN or any of those. I don't want to be on ESPN, but maybe for our sports team. But you never know. But they're not going to come in here and say, how did y'all build the buildings? How did y'all see the souls saved? They're not going to ask that. But you let somebody slip up now, they'll cover that. But here's what God saw in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And here it is. And that every imagination of the thoughts... Now notice this, He didn't say of the mind. Because the mind is just basically... anyway, that's a different story. But He says thoughts of his heart was only evil... Say it, church. Continually. That means there was not a moment that they thought good. There was not a moment that they did good. There was not a moment where they shared joy and love and happiness with somebody else. That means that the thoughts of who and what they were only evil continually. We're pretty close to there now. When a person can ride up on a sidewalk and run over people on a bicycle and jump out and say, God did that, it's not my God. I can't imagine that the evil in this world today, you say, what's wrong with the world today? It's a heart issue. It is an unregenerated heart issue in today's society. Now verse 6, God tells us how He felt about this. It says, and it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him whereat in His heart. This, by the way, God knew that this was going to happen, but when it did happen, it still grieved Him. Isn't that something that He has feelings? But I want you to... I love verse 8 too. We just got to read it just because the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad for grace, aren't you? There's a few things I want to give you here as a matter of introduction. We see, matter of fact, you can go on down to even to verse 11 there, and it says, if you'll look at there, verse 11 says, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and that the earth was, now notice this, filled with what? Filled with violence. We know what violence is. That means when you do an act against someone else in a mean or a violent act. It's when you take upon yourself to take something from somebody else or to harm somebody else. That was what the earth was like in that day. The Bible tells us that, but as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, when you start seeing these signs, you're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. By the way, it's very soon. We see violence. Boy, you talk about violence just this week. We were at the tire shop yesterday and saw the little ticker on the little thing. It said, man runs over people. How in the world does that happen? How does I don't know about you, but I don't like cats. Now, don't send me letters. My email is scotttremar@heritagebaptistchurch. You can send it to that. But I ran over a cat not too long ago, and I thought I could rejoice in it. I really did. I didn't swerve to hit it. It was a little kitten. And I saw the little kitten. It ran out in front of me, and I stopped. That was a miracle of God right there. Usually, it's hammered down. But the little kitten came out there on the road, and it went back off, and I was like, well, I'll go on. And when I did, anyway, you know what happened. We had a funeral service. And man, I ran over that cat, and I was like, man, I sure hate that. Well, I had to go back, I went somewhere, and I came back, and that little cat was still there. And I'm telling you, I don't like cats. I think they are from south, down that way. Not heaven, but the other way. I think they come from with flames. I do. They're mean as a hornet. But I felt bad about running over a cat. Can you even for a moment, I cannot think of running over humans and saying I'm doing that for a cause. What is wrong with America today? It's the heart, people. It's not guns that kill people. Somebody say amen right there. Guns don't kill people. It's people with a bad heart. It's people that are evil. It's people that are wicked in their heart. That is the problem with America today. Listen, the problem with America is not that we need a new president, a new senate, a new judicial system, and all of those things. We need people to get saved and give Jesus to give them a new heart because their heart is wicked. We see a few things in this chapter 6 here. We see the explosion of population in verse 1. We see in verse 2 sexual perversion. We see in verse 2 also demonic activity. We see in verse 5, we see the constant evil in man's heart. And then we see in verse 11, which I just read, widespread corruption and violence. Folks, the result, this is the result of an evil heart from Genesis chapter 3. See, if you let sin go from Genesis chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 6, that's what you get. When sin is not dealt with. Can I remind you that all of us are born sinners? We are. We are all born sinners. Jeremiah told us this. You know this verse, but you can write it down. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? By the way, don't ever say this statement, I'm just going to go with my heart on that. Don't do that. You will make a mistake that maybe you can never come back from. I love it whenever I see these young people when they start dating. Well, I just feel it in my heart that she's the one for me. No, she's not. They're especially girls, there's not a guy good enough for you. Just leave him alone. Sorry, I'm thinking about my kids. It's the only good thing about Bailey. She's never going to get married. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. That's money in my pocket right there. But listen, this thing is so wicked. You better go with the Holy Spirit and you better go with the Word. Now the Holy Spirit can move your heart and the Word can move your heart, I understand. But I'm saying don't go with that natural heart. Don't go by feelings. Now I want to get into the heart of the message tonight. Luke chapter 6, if you will. Luke chapter 6. We kind of saw just the root of all this. Luke chapter 6 is where I want to stay tonight. Luke chapter 6 and verse 43. Luke 6, 43. And we'll read down to verse 46 here in just a moment. But we see the nature of the heart. The nature of the heart was showed to us in Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 6 is the result of a heart that's unattended, a heart that is left to its own devices. And we see that passed down through Cain and Seth and all those that of the evil lineage that it was passed down through. And by the way, parents, you do affect your children. This is free. Parents, we affect our children with what we do. Grandparents, you affect your grandkids. Can I say that I was raised in a home, my mother was saved, my dad was not. My dad was a pretty wicked man, and my mother was a great godly lady. And I'm so thankful that the godly side wore on me more than the wicked side. I'm so glad for that. But I can't imagine how much better my life would have been if my dad would have been a godly man and my mom would have been a godly woman. I can't imagine how further I would be in this and how much better my life would be today. And so, parents, listen to me. If you want to help your kids, not the greatest thing you can do is not give them a savings account. The greatest thing you can do for them is not to give them a car and a vehicle and those type things. The greatest thing that you can give them is a heritage that is godly. It'll take them further than anything else. They'll spend that money. They'll wreck that car. They'll rust it out or something. But the godly influence that is in their hearts will go farther than anything else. Now to the message. That was free. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Notice what the Bible says here. And of course, the Lord is talking preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Some of this is directed really and truly at the fakers of the day or the Pharisees of the day. Verse 43 says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor the bramble bush gather they grapes." In other words, that's not where you get those from. Verse 45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and these things I say?" And of course, he's addressing the crowd there. But notice what he says. He says, "For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And I want to just think about this, is that the nature of the heart is evil. And an evil heart, if it's evil, produces evil fruit. It can't produce anything else. We want to sit around, and kind of the reason I was thinking of this sermon series is this, is because a lot of times we try to deal with the fruit instead of the root. You see, you can't go out there and blame the tree for moving its branches. That's not the problem. The problem is the wind blowing it. And a lot of times in our life, is that we try to deal with the fruit of the problem and not the root of the problem. You see, as a parent sometimes, you got to be a great investigator to see the root of the problem, don't you? You can't just deal with the fruit sometimes. And as a husband, there has to be a root of the marriage or whatever it may be. You must find the root problem that is going on there. By the way, I am not a counselor. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in being a preacher, you have to be a counselor. You know the greatest advice I give people is this. I listen to them. I can't tell you when I was pastoring how many people I bring in my office and boy, they're going at it. And I'm like, ding, 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 round one. And they get it all out, and pretty soon they wear themselves out. And I'm just sitting at my desk. Of course, I always had a pen in my hand, act like I care. I did care. Acted like I was writing stuff down. You know, you're like, And I'm like, Jesus loves me, this I know. Sure hope Alabama wins this week. You know, I'm writing stuff down. And then all of a sudden, they just kind of go, huh. And when they get quiet, I just kind of lean in and say, "Well, what's the real problem here?" And all of a sudden they're like, "Well, now that I've heard their side, I believe it was this." And they walk out of my office. I've said only two words to them: "God bless." Isn't it amazing that when we begin to talk and we begin to examine things, a lot of times we see the root problem. But you know, as Christians, I'm telling on myself, sometimes I know the root problem and I don't want to deal with it. I just keep cutting the fruit off. I just keep dealing with the bad fruit for a while, right? Ain't that true? Instead of dealing with the exact root problem, whenever I was over at the school at Norris working over there, they had had a leak for almost 30 years. Brother Stewart, being the man that he is, fix that leak. Yes, sir. So the first thing I did, I was like, "Well, that ceiling tile has been wet. And now the ceiling tile has been molded so bad, that ceiling tile's waving at me." That thing was so molded and nasty, I didn't want to touch it. I put on gloves. I took the ceiling tile down, and I'm not lying, for almost 30 years that thing had been there. I got it up there, and I had to climb up in there, and I saw the problem. The problem was the roof drainage pipe come into the building and then went out the building. Well, where that elbow was, it cracked. For 30 years, the first person, and I know his name. He lives in Oklahoma now. And I'm not going to say his name anymore. But pastor's dad goes to the man's church. He was the genius that went up there and said, I know how to fix it. Duct tape. He wrapped duct tape around there, and now the pipe that was 4-inch pipe is now a 6-inch pipe. Well, guess what? That didn't work very long. Duct tape dry rots over a period of time, and it stops doing what it's supposed to do. But he had another great invention. He put a bucket up there. When all else fails, you wire a bucket up there. That bucket had been up there so long that I'm pretty sure that it was a painting company bucket that went out of business a long time ago. I took the bucket down, I took the duct tape off, and I looked at that problem, and I go, well, why don't we just cut that elbow out and put a new one in there? Well, of course, that didn't work either. I busted everything else in there. That pipe was so brittle. I put that sawzall in there, and I went to cut it, and all that pipe just disappeared. I was like, where'd the pipe go? It was so dry rotting. And then I did what smart people do. I got on the phone, and I called a master plumber. And $7,000 later, ta-da! Not that much, but close. But see, for like 25, 30 years, they had not dealt with the root of the problem. And listen, sometimes we can be that way. Sometimes we have to be careful in our life that we don't deal with just the fruit that comes from us. But listen, here's the problem. A lot of times we want to get on to our kids about what comes out of their mouth. But listen, more importantly, we should be dealing with what's in their heart. Me and Brother Ladd were just having this conversation the other day. He was saying, how can I get kids to do this? And we both agreed consensually on this, is that it's not trying to fix what they're doing. It's fixing what's coming into their lives. I want to give you two things tonight. I know that's un-Baptistic, some Wiganistic. I just made that word up. That's a pretty good one. Wigan. I don't know how to spell it, but Wiganistic. My wife will tell me how to spell it later. That was pretty good. But there's two things tonight that we see in these scriptures. Two things we see in these scriptures. And I want to read you. There's a great commentary. His name's Clark. He says, not to have good fruit is to have evil fruit. There cannot be no innocent, sterile... He goes on today. I want to read this whole thing, but he says basically, not to have good fruit is to have evil fruit. In other words, there is no middle ground. There's no Christian that's just not producing anything. If you as a Christian are not producing good fruit out of your life, you're producing evil fruit. And there's no middle ground in there. And we go back and we say, well, how can I produce good fruit out of my life? Well, I'm going to give you two things tonight. I want to look at two things in the scriptures. Go back, if you will, to verse 43. It says, for a good tree, right, bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Everybody understand that? That's what I'm just saying. That as a Christian, you're either doing right or you're doing wrong. Everybody have kids? Say amen right there. When your kids are just sitting there, they're thinking of something wrong even if they're not doing something wrong. At least my kids were. Like I could see, I was that way. My mom knew if I ever got quiet in my room, there was something about to burn up, tear up, or blow up. I mean, it was just the way it was. Mom would be like, Michael? I was a conniver. That's what I was. I loved to be. I was mischievous as a kid, and my mom knew if I ever got silent, I was probably either doing something or about to plan to do something, which there was not a lot of planning in my life. It just kind of happened. But notice what he says is that neither doeth corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. You see, I brought tonight two examples, and I'll put the good tree over here and the bad tree over here, and what you put into a heart or into a life is what you get out of it. And that's what he's saying. He says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth corrupt tree bring it. But notice what he says in verse 44. He says, for every tree is known by his fruit. He says in verse 45, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now there's two things about your heart you need to get tonight, and I need to get tonight. Number one is the inflow into your heart. the inflow into your heart. If you understand plumbing, there's an inflow and there's an outflow. There's water coming in and there has to be water going out. There has to be whatever coming in. Current comes in and current goes out. But what happens in our life, we cannot blame the fruit before we deal with the root. I want to give you just a silly illustration, but remember, this is the good side and this is the bad side. Now, this good tree, all it can produce is good. It produces peace. It produces goodness. When I reach into this tree, when I reach into this life here, I reach in there and all I can pull out is good things. Humility. Caring. Kindness. And love. Now, I know there's a lot of other things that you... But listen, I didn't pull out any bad things out of this life because it cannot produce bad. It only produces good. When you're right with God, when you put the right things in, you get the right things out. You can't expect to go out there and open up your old thingamabobber on your car and take that cap off and pour diesel fuel down in there and put that on there, and it might run for a little while, but you're going to get a knock pretty quick. Why? Because what you put in it is what you're going to get out of it. We get so mad when we get fat. Somebody say amen. This week I had a weak moment. I ate some double stuffed Oreos. It was so good. By the time I looked at that package and realized they were gone. Now I had some other compadres that helped me eat them. I'm not sure how many they ate, but I'm pretty sure they ate more than I did. And I looked in there and you know what happened to me immediately? I was like, why did I do that? You start doing this, don't you? Oh, why did I do that? Listen, in life, it's the same thing spiritually. What we put in our life, Pastor says this all the time, you put junk in, you get junk out. And by the way, you don't have to be around somebody very long to know what they've been putting into the tank. You don't have to be around people very long until you figure out that they've been putting in things that are not right. The inflow of your heart has to be right. Here's what he said. He talks about, twice he says it. He says, the good treasure of the heart. The good treasure. And what he says in verse 45, he says, a good man out of the good treasure. And then he goes on down to say that the evil treasure of the evil heart. What does that treasure mean? Well, I looked it up and here's what it means. It means a coffer, a treasury, or a storehouse. So what Jesus is telling us is that when you put the good into your storehouse of your life, guess what you're going to get out of it? Listen, you put bad music into your life all week long, that's what comes out. You put good music in there, that's what comes out. You put enough dirty jokes in there, they're going to come back out. And by the way, there's things that can sit in your life and simmer for a long time until they come out. And by the way, if we don't deal with sin in our life and if we don't deal with things in our heart in the very root of who we are, guess what? One day it's going to come out. And usually it comes out when you get frustrated and bitter. Hello. Honey, I forgive you. Man, today is mine and Danya's anniversary. It's the anniversary when we started going together 23 years ago. I almost remembered that. She remembers that. 23 years ago, me and Danya, I gave her my class ring. I was very cheesy. I told her it didn't fit my finger anymore. Would she wear it? And she was cheesy enough to accept it. I was a real romantic. We were in a jewelry store one day. I said, if I buy you a ring, will you marry me? Something like that. It was pretty close. Yep. I was like, all right, let's do it. I was a romantic, man. I'm telling you. All the other guys that fly over and put the writing out on candles and stuff, that's just nasty. Don't do that. That costs money. Me and Danya dated. Every date we ever went on was fishing. I knew she was the one with me once I hooked her in the ear one time. I was like, why won't my reel go? And every time I did this, I'd hear, oh. I was like, what's wrong? I hooked her right in the ear, pulled that baby out with a little bit of skin, kept fishing. She stayed with me. 23 years later. But I can remember some things. She can remember more. But I can remember some things early on that I didn't like. And by the way, men, how good does it go when you bring up stuff that happened a long time ago? Years ago, it goes over real well with your wife. She loves to be reminded of those times. Usually on her side, she usually returns the favor to you and reminds you of things that you did that were worse. And then you realize, why did I get into this? Because I really have nothing on her compared to what she has on me. And you try to back out of it, and you can't. Then as every good man does, you just walk away and start crying. Because you know you've been beat. But you know what? Is that there's some things that me and Donya has not been perfect, been pretty close. But it's been a great marriage. We really hardly have ever argued over anything. It's usually over food. Who would think? And where we're going to go, right? Ain't that something? Or what we're going to eat? But you know what's amazing? Is that I can let things simmer in my life. And you know when they come out? They come out when we begin to get mad at each other. And stuff I thought I had forgot about will come back up. And will remind me. That's how the devil works, isn't it? And listen to me, the same is true in our spiritual life, is that if you let that seed of sin sit in there and grow in your life and grow in your life and you don't deal with it, one day it's going to come out. Because it is about the inflow to your heart. Now let me give you the last thing. Oh, I didn't show you the other side. The other side over here can only, there's lust, there's pride, there's envy, there's hate, there's other stuff, murder. That's why somebody can run over. Man, lust must have been a bad one. I put that one on there like 6 times. Anger? That must have been a real bad one. See, that's all this tree can produce is bad. All this tree can produce, all this life can produce is good. Here's what God's saying. You can't do this. See, we think we can. We think we can come to church and go, good. Go back on Monday and go, man. That's not the way it works. God says the two can't mix. It's like oil and water. You can't mix those two together. Let me give you the last thing, the outflow of your heart. He gives us this also in verses 43 through 45, and I'll not read all these. But I believe this, is that what's setting in your heart, what goes into your heart will come out. And that's what he's saying. He says in the last part of verse 45, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What you are will come out. I promise you. You say, how in the world do we fix it? Proverbs chapter 4, write this down. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 gives us this. He says, keep thy heart, or you mean the meaning there is guard. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You say, how do I guard my heart? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. A verse we learn as a child, isn't it? I figured this out the hard way, as most people. The more of the Word of God I have in my heart and in my life, the less sin I have in there. You see, you put enough good from this tree, you start pulling it into here, guess what has to go out? The bad has to go away, right? And the good begins to fill your life, and the goodness and righteousness and all those things in the Word of God begins to build in your life. And listen to me tonight, is that all of us have something that is deep within us that we know shouldn't be there. We just need to get rid of it. And let God have it, right? Because one day it's going to come out. It's going to grow. You ever put something in the refrigerator and forgot about it for a while? It grows. Amen. And by the way, nobody opens it up and goes, man, I can't wait to heat this up. No, usually we open it up and all of us are this way. We have to smell it. Just to make sure. You just have to. You're just like... And you pop that thing open and nobody's ever went, man, I'm glad I did that. By the way, you let something sit in your life and it's not... Guess what? Jesus said that we ought to be a sweet-smelling savor unto him. But if our life stinks, he turns his face from us. Matter of fact, he tells us this throughout the scripture, but especially in a couple places, that he will not hear our prayers. Yep. Listen tonight, what's in your heart? What's the inflow of your life? You can never put too much good in there. Listen, folks, you can't learn the Bible enough. You can't pray enough. You can't come to enough Wednesday night services and Thursday night institute and Sunday morning Sunday school and Sunday morning services and Wednesday night services and open your Bible during the week and reading it, because what? It's going to clean you out. It's going to keep good things coming in. Good music. Good music in your life. Guess what? Good music comes out. Good words come out. Good things come out. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's always going to be somewhere in the day that's going to, you're going to get rubbed the wrong way. Amen? Boy, I hate failing those tests, don't you? I want to pass it. And I want to please Him. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll have a verse of invitation after I pray. Father, I love You tonight. And God, Lord, You know my heart tonight. Lord, I'm not perfect. God, I need Your cleansing power upon my heart. I need my sins to be forgiven tonight. God, I need better things to go into my life and through the eye gate and the ear gate. Lord, help us all tonight just to see that the inflow into our heart is so important, because the result is that we reap what we sow. And God, the outflow will be that which we have put into our life. Lord, Your people are here tonight because they want to be. And God, I know they want to learn and they want to grow. And so, Father, I ask that You'd help them with that tonight. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are open. We'll turn to hymn 534, Cleanse Me. And let's sing that song as Abby begins, or as Miss Linda begins to play. Let's sing and you can come. Sir.